Start your day, the Torah way, Northwest London, Tuesday, 30th of Nisan, 4th of April, Rabbi Shmuel Donner, Shlita, Emon of Pshuta versus Blind Faith. This week's Torah way has been sponsored by Family Olsberg, the first Simotov Mitzvah of Modi Olsberg, and jointly by Family Kaufman, the first Simotov Mitzvah of Chaim Kaufman, Yit Rotson, Shizku Ureya, Vizignahim, Rab Nachas, Mehem, Mikol Yotzei, Chalotzei Hem.
This is my very first time that I've been given the honor to speak for this incredible program, started in the Torah way. Being that I am involved in Habotsa Torah in Gibraltar from time to time, I also, in here and there, need to give a drosha. And I think I've learned by now that although I would say my job is to speak and your job is to listen, however, my greatest challenge is to make sure that I finish my job before you finish yours. So I have half an hour, Bez Hashem, to try and do so. Okay, so let's begin with this. Zeiche liyetzias Mitzrayim. An overwhelming majority of mitzvahs in the Torah are Zeiche liyetzias Mitzrayim. We open the Chumash, we look through the parashios, wherever we look, we keep seeing mitzvahs that are Zeiche liyetzias Mitzrayim. There's a tremendous emphasis in the Torah on remembering the Nisim, the Esamakos, and the Nisim that took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Twice a day in Shema, we're reminded of the mitzvah that we have to remember, Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then again, on Leil Pesach, we have the mitzvah of Yigalat HaLevincha, where the Torah commands us, the Torah instructs us, to convey this message, to internalize this message, and then to transmit it to our children. So what exactly, I'd like to try and explain, what exactly is this message of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there's such an emphasis in the Torah to remember? What exactly is this message? We come today to Seder, what is the message we're meant to internalize and give over to our children? That's question number one. Question number two is that over the course of Jewish history, Klal Yisrael have experienced countless nisim, whether to the Klal, as Klal Yisrael in the whole, whether to the Yochid, and their own individual lives. Even in contemporary times, we experience miracles in our life. And all these miracles that we experience, they strengthen our emunah. They remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is it about the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim that makes these Nisim in particular the foundation of our emunah? We know that the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim are the Ikrei emunah. This is one of the foundations of our emunah. To remember and to internalize the messages of what took place to Klal Yisrael at the time when they left Mitzrayim. Seemingly every miracle strengthens our emunah. Every miracle reminds us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There seems to be an intrinsic difference between the standard miracles that take place in our day-to-day lives, even the big miracles, and in contrasting them with the miracles that took place when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. So I want to share with you what Rabbi Rucham Levovitz, the famed Miriam Mashkiach, says, and then I'd like to try and explain his words. Rabbi Rucham says the following. He says that although there have been countless miraculous events over all the years to Klal Yisrael, but he says, and he says that, you're right, all these miraculous events, they do serve as concrete proof of a higher power. They do serve as proof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, just because they prove to us that there must be a God, they prove to us that there is a Ribono Shelam, we don't actually get to see the higher power, we don't actually get to see the Ribono Shelam himself. Right, it's like a stepping stone. We see a bomb landed and it didn't explode. Wow, there must be this Ribono Shelam. So all the events, all the miracles that we witness, they are a stepping stone that lead us even to conclusive proof that there has to be a Ribono Shelam. However, in contrast, says Yom Rucham, through the Esa Makos and the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem exposed the divine presence itself. Hashem, through every Mako, Hashem revealed more and more of the Shekhinah. That by the time it came to the end of the Esa Makos, says Rabbi Rucham, we say in the Haggadah, by Makos Bechoyro, Zu Giloy Shekhinah. This was a revelation of the Shekhinah itself. So says Rabbi Rucham, Hashem exposed more and more of the Shekhinah. By the time it came to the Esa Makos, it culminated in a complete revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Those are Rabbi Rucham's words, that regular miracles are just an event that lead us to a proof that there must be a Ribono Shelam, whereas via the Esa Makos and the Nisim that took place, B'Shas Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael witnessed the Shekhinah itself, so to speak. I'd like to try and explain what exactly does this mean? What exactly did Klal Yisrael see? You know, we live in a world, we look around, we see shtenders, we see tables, chairs, We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything we look at. That's because we know this world, it, by definition, is something really that conceals HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world, Olam, world, comes from the root Haloma, which is concealment, Hastara, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is hidden behind the world as we see it. Likewise, we don't understand the ways of Hashem. Nistorim Darkei Hashem, the Pasuk says. The ways of Hashem are hidden. We don't understand the ultimate plan and why different particular events take place. And because of this Hastara, because of this concealment, it has left room throughout the generations for people to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu and try and explain everything within the realms of science and nature. Because not everything is clear. The Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam clearly. However, of course, as Yidden we know that really the physical world as we see it is just a melevush. It's a clothing. It's just a mere reflection of a very, very, very deeper and real world. And that's the Olam Ruchni, the Olam HaNetzach. We know that this world is just a cover-up. We know that every small thing we do in this world is not just an action that takes place in the physical world. Everything we do affects the Olam HaRuchni, let's call it. It affects the very, very real spiritual world behind this physical world. We talk in learning now, we say words of Torah, creating malachim. We might not see it, but it's a reality. It's a reality. As much as the physical world is a reality, when we talk in learning, we do mitzvahs, it has an effect on the world. It has an effect on the world above, which ultimately has an effect on the physical world. And we know that really it's much more than that. It's that without the spiritual dimension that there is in this world, the physical can't exist. It's like a neshama and a guf. Take our body and our soul. We're living now. But when our neshamas leave our bodies, then which is the spiritual part, the spiritual dimension of our body, then the physical ceases to exist. The body ceases to exist. And that's because really, every physical being has a spiritual dimension that gives it life. Va'ato mechaye eskulam, the Pasuk says. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives life into everything. The Ribbono Shel Olam is pumping life into everything. And without that spiritual dimension, the physical will not exist. Take a fire, Lamoshlo. Take a fire, for example. I like to use this example. Even if you take a microscope and you break up the fire into tiny pieces and you look and you see all the particles and the atoms of a fire, at the end of the day you can only see the tangible part of a fire. That's the only part you can see. However, the most powerful part of the fire, which is the strength and the heat, that's not something you physically see. That's not something tangible. That's not something that the physical eye can see. And yet, it would be very foolish for somebody to say, look, I only see the fire as it is. I don't see the strength of the fire. I can't see it, so it can't be. If I can't see it, it can't be true. I'll put my hand into the fire. Of course, it's crazy, Meshugana. It's very as real as the fire itself is the strength of the fire. Just because we can't see something, that doesn't mean it's not real, it's not true. And more than that, you take a fire, the whole driving force of the fire is the strength, is the part that you can't see. The physical part is really, I would say, the ikkah is the strength of the fire. That's what gives the power of the fire is what we need. That's what causes the damage. That's what causes light. And similarly, like we might see the tangible part might be the physical world, the world as we see it. However, there's a very, very real spiritual world out there, and really that's the driving force behind the world as we see it. So Miruchim says. Let's add one point first. So through the Nisim of Yisias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed this Ruchnius Liga dimension to Klal Yisrael, B'chush. They saw this part that we're not seeing, they saw it with complete and utter clarity. It was exposed to them like never before since Sheyesh Shmei Bereishis, and never again until Yemos HaMashiach. The Hastara of this world was completely removed. Ra'aso Shifcha Layom, Masharei Ra'aso Ben Buzi Kol Yomov. Even a Shifcha was so clear to them, everything, they saw everything. Even a Shifcha Layom saw Yechezkel Ben Buvi, Maisa Merkava, everything he saw. Yet a simple Shifcha saw this, Bish'as, Kriyas Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael actively experienced this emes, this truth, that the world is just a cover-up of something much deeper. The Ramchal writes that through the Nisim of Yisias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael understood the secret of creation in its entirety. They understood the purpose of creation and the purpose of every single being. They fully comprehended the depth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate plan.
That means that Astara was removed, that Klal Yisrael now, they saw and they understood everything. It was like going into Olam Haba and suddenly seeing everything very, very, very clearly. Ramchal adds that Klal Yisrael saw how even the minute, substance in this world is attached to the most lofty heights. They saw the vastness of Torah, they saw the infinite intricacies within every mitzvah, and they understood why evil is allowed to exist. Everything Klal Yisrael understood, because at that moment in time, the Astara was removed, so everything was seen to them in complete and utter clarity. It's as if Klal Yisrael at that point elevated themselves from a world of physical, and they entered the world of spiritual. So this is what Ibn Rushd is saying. Ibn Rushd is being masbih. Ibn Rushd is explaining that all miracles that we see, you're right, we see a miracle, a moedig event, and it leads us to a clear proof. There's definitely a Ribbono Shalom. There must be a Ribbono Shalom. Something happens, it's got to be there's a higher power. But we don't witness that higher power itself. That means we're still living in a world of concealment. The concealment hasn't been removed. We just know that it's got to be that behind this concealed world, there is a Ribbono Shalom. However, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was much more than that. Klal Yisrael took away the Hastara. He removed this concealment that Klal Yisrael witnessed a world that is not bound by anything physical. It's not bound by time or space or any boundaries or anything physical, because they entered the world of the spiritual. They entered an Olam HaNetzach and they saw how everything, they saw things as if we were in Olam Haba, in a world and that was their source of existence. They lived at that moment in time off something completely Ruchni. So when we say Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, what does this mean? The Torah is constantly reminding us that we need to connect. Every one of us needs to connect with that moment in time where Klal Yisrael witnessed. They witnessed this. They witnessed that the world is not just as I see it. Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim means to connect with our very own Ruchniyistika dimension that exists in every single one of us. Our Chelik HaLekam Yimal that we have, our godly essence that's within every single individual. Zeiches Yis Mitzrayim means to remind us, that's how we get through life. It means a constant reminder. Every time we say Zeiches Yis Mitzrayim, to remind us that we are now doing a mitzvah, we're doing something Ruchni, we're connecting with the Olam Ruchni, with something very, very real, and we're connecting with our own Ruchniyistika dimension, which is our Chelik HaLekam Yimal that is deeply ingrained in the essence of every Yid. It's the DNA of Klal Yisrael, and we can connect with it so much so we're constantly reminded to the extent that Ruchnius Ba'as becomes such a reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes so much part and parcel of our lives that everything we do, we taka see the Ribbono Shalom. So here comes a very crucial point. And this really, to me it was a chiddush, first time I looked into this topic, that this really is the real meaning of Emunah. Emunah is not proof of Hashem's existence. I've learned this very clearly and I repeat. Emunah is not proving the Ribbono Shalom. Many secular people have proven that a God exists. That is called yediyah. It's knowledge. It's something in the mind that you prove that there has to be a higher power. Emunah is really not knowledge. Emunah, and this is really the most important line, Emunah is something we feel. It's not something we know. Emunah is in the heart. Emunah is not in the mind. Reb Chaim Brisker says that Emunah starts where the seichel sees it, where the intellect ceases to comprehend. Adarabba, where the seichel can no longer understand things, we then surrender to the Baruch Hashem and we say, Baruch Hashem, I don't understand, but I feel you. I know you exist. I feel you in my heart. I connect with the Chelik HaNekam Yimal that's within myself, and I feel the Baruch Hashem in my life, even though I don't understand. We can't fathom what Ebeshte is in our seichel, in our mind. We can't grasp how every blade of grass, every drop in the ocean, every dust particle is all part of a divine plan. But we can allow ourselves to connect with that truth. We can feel the emotion, we can understand it, and we can feel the emotion in our lives to the extent that we understand that all this must be part of a greater plan. The Beis Halevi says, a very, very sharp line, he says, proof of Emunah is Emunah itself. That means that it's until we experience Emunah, then it's hard to explain Emunah to someone else. When we experience Emunah itself, that's the greatest proof. We lived it, we experienced it, we're like, wow, of course there must be, there's definitely a Ribbono Shalom. Rav Moshe Shapira would say over, Zechus and Levracha, would say over a heart-wrenching story that brings out this point. And he would say that he had this from a Holocaust survivor himself that was forced to work by the furnaces, forced to work by the ovens. It's Yadua that the Germans, Yimach Shemom, besides murdering and annihilating so much of Klal Yisrael, but besides that, they also made a lot of mockery. They made fun of the Jewish people. They did whatever they could to really be mevaza them. And he was forced to work by the ovens. And he survived. The survivor survived to say the story. And he said over that as he watched Yidden Mitten in the last moments, one of these Rishayim Aruim turned up, and he was holding in his hands a paroiches from the Ona Kodesh. And he grabbed this paroiches, and he went, and he draped it over the entrance to the ovens, the entrance to the furnaces. And on this paroiches, it was inscribed, Zeh HaShar LaShem Tzadikim Avoy Avoy. And of course, he was wanting to make terrible mockery and atzonos of the Torah and the Ribbono Shel Olam and anything ruchni. And he went and put this posuk in front of the ovens and said, I was making fun as the Yidden were meeting their last moments and forced into these ovens. And the survivor said over that one Yid, he doesn't know who he is, but one Yid he witnessed meeting his last moments being pushed into the oven. And this Yid, as he walked in, he looked up, and most people, when they saw what went on, they gasped in the mockery of Torah and mitzvahs, and they nearly lost their sanity. And yet there was one Yid, as he walked in, he looked at the paroiches, and he looked at this pasuk, and put his hands up to Shemayim, and he said three words in Yiddish. And he says, Es is taka azoi, indeed it is so. That means that this Yid, he retained the sanity, as he was meeting his last moments, that he saw a pasuk, that this is the entrance to Hashem, Tzadikim enter over here, and he understood on a deeper meaning, that giving up one's life, HaKadosh Hashem, the most nefesh of Torah and mitzvahs, it's takazoi, this Zeh Hashar LaShem, there's nothing greater, there's no greater joy than connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam and giving up your life kol kulo for the Eibishter. I want to ask you, how is it possible that somebody, it could be because it could have been a posh to eat, can attain such a madrega, when we go through our minds at such a moment, that all you can think of is when you see such a posh, yes, other rabba, on the contrary, Zeh Hashar LaShem, Tzadikim Avoy Avoy, how is it that a person gets such a madrega? Before I answer this question, let me share with you another episode. Could be some of you, I'm not mistaken, some of you may have heard this at this podium a year ago. I think my father said over the story. Incredible story. I apologize to those who are only hearing it for the first time. My great-grandparents, they escaped from my father's mother's parents. They escaped from Germany to Russia after the First World War. My great-grandfather actually fought in the German army in the First World War, and he was shot in the leg, and after he was in Russia, then they escaped to Eretz Yisrael, and when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he got his leg checked, and they found shrapnel in his leg still from the First World War. He limped his whole life because of this, he was limping, and when he was in Russia, the fascinating story, when he was in Russia, then of course it was before the fall of the Iron Curtain, so everything was banned. There was no Mila, no Shechita, no Torah, everything, you know, you rest your life to do anything, anything to do with Yardos, anything to do with Torah and Mitzvahs. And he didn't have any Jewish articles, nothing, no Sforim. And he very much wanted, he wanted something Yiddish. Now, of course, whatever he could say off by heart, he said off by heart, he knew off by heart. And he heard that far away there was a lady who owned a Korban Mincha Seder. Now, Korban Mincha Seder has a lot in it, has everything in it, besides a regular tefillah. It's got, you know, all the extra Yom Tovim tefillah and everything is in there. So he very much wanted to get hold of this Seder. And he felt maybe a woman doesn't need it as much as a man, I want to go. And he risked his life. Think about the weather conditions, somebody who can't walk properly, somebody who could be caught, where you're going to. And he risked his life to go and get hold of this Siddur. And he trekked in the snow miles and miles to get there. And eventually he gets to this woman. And after trying to persuade her again and again to give him the Siddur, she refused to no avail. He tried, she refused to give him the Siddur. And he felt like I traveled all the way to get hold of this Siddur. I risked my life. I can't just go with nothing. So he turned around and he says to her, you know what, you're not going to give me the Siddur. I'll ask you one favor. Let me just borrow it for the meantime. I most of the davening I know off by heart, but the certain parts I don't know off by heart. I don't know Hagadosh HaPesach. I don't know Tefillas Tal. At least let me copy those out that I will know, I'll be able to read off something when it comes time to say it. And he went into the street and he picked up bits of paper, Russian writing, full of Russian writing, bits of newspaper, that sort of thing. And he started copying out word for word the whole Haggadah. The whole Haggadah, word for word. Moisa Nefesh, for one mitzvah, somebody who was completely potter, of course, of all the mitzvahs, because Nefesh, he had life in Russia at the time. I can show this after the shade, be able to see clearly, you can see this Russian writing over here, and then he copied out the Haggadah, and this page, you have again Russian writing, and then the Haggadah that he copied out. How is it that a simple Yid, a Yid, one person, can be moise nefesh like that, at a time of bikuach nefesh, for one mitzvah to be able to say to say Haggadah? There's many more stories to say, there isn't time. There's thousands of stories where simple Yidden were moise nefesh in the concentration camps, whatever it was, for a bit of matzah, for every small thing. How is it that Yidden got to this level? These not necessarily were Yidden who sat and learnt all day. How is it that they got to this level of connecting the Ribbono Shel Olam? And the answer is, the same aside, it's impossible for this to happen impossible just from knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mind, just from proving the Ribbono Shelom. Impossible. It does not come from that. On the contrary, these episodes are concrete evidence that every single one of us, we all possess another dimension, a spiritual dimension. And these Yidden that connected with the Ribbono Shelom in their lives, they're connected to the Chelik HaLeim Kamimal, to the extent that became a reality, to the extent that they realized that Olam Ruchni is the Ikka, and the Olam HaGashmi is the Tofel. The Ribbono Shelom was so much part of their lives. They lived in a Ruchnistic world. In a Ruchnistic world, of course, you realize and you come to the realization that this is the most important thing, to give up our life for Kiddush Hashem. The effect that a mitzvah has on this world. They realized the power of every mitzvah because they were looking at it in the Ruchnistic vision and they had connected so much to the Chelik HaKamimal. They lived with the Ruchnistic outlook in their lives. And here comes the title of today's shiur: Emunah Pshuta versus Blind Faith. It's a terrible mistake to think that Emunah Pshuta is blind faith. Emunah Pshuta, blind faith, there's a God, finished, you know, call it brainwashing, finished, blind faith, whatever, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, finished. I just accept this as a fact. That's not Emunah Pshuta. Knowledge, in fact, can always be disputed. Even something you saw, people say, maybe didn't see it, maybe didn't happen, maybe it did happen, I don't know, you saw like this, you saw like that. Knowledge can always be disputed. A person doesn't get to these madrigas with that sort of knowledge. Emunah Pshuta, take something, go to a Holocaust survivor. It's knowledge. He said, I know the Holocaust happened. And try and deny the Holocaust to him. Of course, he'll chuck you out of this room. You can't deny the Holocaust to a Holocaust survivor. Why not? What's the difference? Knowledge can be disputed. And the answer is because it's not something he just knew, it's not a piece of knowledge. It's something he experienced. It's something he lived through. Emunah Pshuta means, it's Pshuta in the sense that's that many people who have a high level of emunah, they can't prove the Ribbono Shel Olam. Go into debate with them and go with a big secular philosopher. They might not be able to win the debate, but yet you won't budge them. You won't change their emunah in the slightest. Why? It's Pshuta in the sense they can't prove the Ribbono Shel Olam. But emunah Pshuta really means connecting with our Chelik HaKamimal, connecting with our Ruchnistic essence to the extent that nothing will budge them. They've felt it, they've experienced it. Now you can't deny the Holocaust to the Holocaust survivor. You can't deny the Ribbono Shel Olam to them because they experienced it. It's a reality in their lives. Take for example, if I were to approach you and I would say to any of you in the room, I'd say to you, do you know what? I want to ask you something. Prove me that you exist. Prove me you exist. Prove me that I don't believe that this Shtender exists. I don't believe it. Prove it to me. Of course, it's a very foolish question. Only a foolish person would take out their passport and they say to you, I exist. It says, look here, look at my date of birth. It says in the passport, I exist. Of course, some things are above the need for logical proof. I know I exist. I'm living. I'm experiencing it. I know. I'm not going to waste my time with such foolish questions. I've got more important things to busy myself with, not with proving whether I exist or not. Of course, I know I exist. I live. I experience. I have feelings. I have emotions. Right? So Emunah Pshuta is that the Ribbono Shel Olam, they experience the Ribbono Shel Olam in their lives. They felt the Ribbono Shel Olam in their lives. After tefillah, after learning, after doing a good mitzvah, they feel, they connect with their neshama. The Torah mitzvah is the ruchnistic of food, is the food for our neshama, and we have the ability to feel it. We have the ability to tap back into what Kali Yisrael felt. B'sha'as Yisias Mitzrayim. That is the true meaning. That is the true meaning of Emunah Pshuta. The time is limited. There's much to be said. Let's add one. Let me share with you one episode. I had the chus of learning by Rabbi Osher Arieli and in the Meir Yeshiva. And one morning, I was in Kol already. I'd left his shiur. I was in Kol at the time, and there was a bris, and there was a group of younger light who went to this bris, and then they came to Kol late. When they came to Kol, this group, they seemed very, very astounded. Something exciting had happened to them. So I asked them what had happened. And they said that the taxi driver, on the way they were running late, so they took a taxi from the Bris to get back to Kol on time. And the taxi driver was completely Koloni. He said, where are you going to? Think of anything. He said, we're going to Yeshivat Mir. He said, Yeshivat Mir? Ani Yeshli Ben Shama. I have a son who learns in the Mir Yeshiva. It's a bit strange, you know, this fellow Koloni doesn't keep anything, and he's saying, got a son in the Mir Yeshiva. So they pushed him and started asking more details. And this is what the fellow said. He said that one day his son was walking down Shmuel HaNavi, a street near the Meir, and it started pelting. It was raining very, very, very heavily. And everybody went to seek for shelter. Everyone went to run in somewhere, look for shelter. And the bocha runs into the closest building. There's a building called the Tiferes Tzvi on Shmuel HaNavi, where Rabbi Osher Arieli gives a shiur there twice a week. And he was walking, he walked in, and he just wanted things. He sat down in the base of Medrash. He sat down over there, it was the warmest room. And he sits down there, and he said, my child was sitting there at this shit, and he doesn't know what it is, he can't describe it. He felt something very, very, very awesome. He felt something, you know, he said the shit finished, and everybody got up to leave, and he just stayed down his seat. He felt he witnessed something above this world. Something, he doesn't know what it was, but somebody was standing over there, and the way he was talking, he can't even describe in words what it was, but it was a certain feeling that he connected with, that he was so taken in by it, and he was so moved, and he felt something so real, and something much more powerful than anything he had ever experienced, that he came home and he said, Father, there's got to be something in this. I have to look into what's going on, what was going on in this building at the time. And that one thing led to another until my son eventually ended up in the Meir Yeshiva. And today he is learning full time. Now what is it that he experienced? It's not something that his physical guf experienced. It's not something that the guf only understood. But his neshama understood it. His chedik ha'kamimal connected with it. That is the greatest sort of emunah, connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives. This Olam Ruchni is something very, very, very real. It's very real. It exists. There's so many ways. There's so many ways where we can witness this. So Aaron Kotler was once giving a shiur, and there was a blackout. It went completely black in the room. And everybody in that room testified that there was a source of light in the room through the darkness. And that glow was coming from Aaron Kotler's face. This is something, not something physical, but something above the physical. This is the spiritual world. This is the Olam HaNetzach. And this is something that every year on Leila Seder, just two more minutes, every year on Leila Seder, this Hashpah comes back. And the reader says on Leila Seder, and Hashem goes to Nun Shari Kedusha. That means on Leila Seder, every single one of us have the ability to reconnect, to tap into that moment in time where Klal Yisrael saw the Shekhinah, they witnessed the Shekhinah. We can all feel Hashem in our lives. Loi b'shamayim hi. We don't need to go to Shemayim to look for the Shekhinah. It's here within. It's within every single one of us. It's our chedik ha'kamimal. It's the ruchnius nigga dimension of every being. So I'm just going to end off with one last story, which again my father's over last year. Incredible story. It's such a chizuk and emunah. And my grandfather, my father's father, who passed away, was nifted just under 3 years ago. And at the ripe old age of 101, and he had a very hard life. For those who knew, very, very hard life. He was always happy, a very, very happy man. I loved seeing him. And he experienced, unfortunately, one of the worst nights in Jewish history, Kristallnacht. He was a boy in Germany at the time, and in 1938, he was hiding in a building. And he witnessed the horrors, the shrieking, the integration of the Jewish people. You can imagine we don't want to imagine what it's like, somebody hiding in a building like that. He did certain things he wouldn't even say over what he witnessed, how they were mamash mevazeh sefer Torah and everything, he chucked things out the windows. And of course he was hiding for his life. And in the morning, after things quietened down on the worst night of Jewish history, he went out in the street to see what was left. Shops were broken, shuls were burnt. And he walks into the streets and he's picking up, he's in the floor, so much sefer kodesh. As a good Yiddish boy, he picks up the Sefer Kodesh lying on the floor, and he picks it all up, and he, whatever he can. And as he's walking along, and you probably remember it now from last year, as he's walking along, then he's walking down the streets, and he, from the corner of his eye, he witnessed something on the floor that he recognizes. And he witnessed on the floor this Haggadah, this very Haggadah that I'm about to take out. And this Haggadah was for his bar mitzvah, he didn't get many presents. And to him it was very, very precious. He got for his bar mitzvah, this Haggadah was his own Haggadah, and he got this Haggadah for his bar mitzvah, and it was a layman Haggadah, and it was very precious to him because he didn't have many for him. And this, you know, he couldn't believe it. He realized the Germans had obviously been into his house, and they threw his Haggadah on the floor, and he picked up his Haggadah, and he opens the Haggadah, he sees his name inside it, and then he sees that the Germans, Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom, they had ripped the Haggadah into two. This Haggadah was ripped by the Germans, Yimach Shemam. And he was very, very, you know, there was not, what hope was there? And he turns the Haggadah, and this page, as you can't read, because they've all been ripped. And then he sees the first words of the Haggadah, the first words that the Germans didn't manage to rip. I read to you, Es Hagoy Asha Yavoidu, the nation that will oppress the Jewish people, Don Anoichi, I will want to take revenge. V'achreichein yetzu b'choshgadol, and then the Yidam will go out b'choshgadol. And the Haggadah continues on the next page with Visha Omdo, Shelo yachod b'vod amon alachaliseinu, that not every day they try and destroy us. V'akadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodam. He took this with him as a chizek and emunah. The Germans, they can tear the gashmias, the physical world they can tear, but the nitzchias of Klal Yisrael is something that is here to remain. That is something that will always last. That was clear hashkochas Hashem for the nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, that we're not just a world, we're not just a physical nation, we're an Amanetzach. B'nissan nigalu, b'nissan asidin leigoyel, b'ez Hashem, which will be zoicha, to be true emuna, and be zoicha to b'noich Hashem, and azmochim, and apsochim, b'nim es hamidosh, and b'nim es hamidosh, and b'nim es
hamidosh, and b'nim es hamidosh, and b'nim
Yeah. 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 Ye